47% believed their looks held them back most of the time. And 61% felt the need to be perfect. Our world today is, I think, somewhat obsessed by physical appearance. The girls told researchers that lack of body confidence not only stopped them wearing certain clothes and having their pictures taken, but also prevented them from exercising, speaking up in class, and socialising. And then also, if we look at industry, one of the fastest growing industries at the moment is in the area of health and fitness. Again, there was a survey that asked people, why do you go to the gym? Now, I wonder how you'd answer that. I guess we'd expect people to answer, well, to get fitter. But the vast majority who answered that survey said to improve their appearance. Go to the gym to improve your appearance. That's what they're driven by. Billions of pounds is spent on advertising fashion and cosmetics and food and drink that will make us look better, be thinner, be more beautiful. I wonder about you. Have you been drawn into the obsession over your appearance? How long did you spend this morning, I won't ask you to answer, deciding what to wear? If I looked at your bank statement, how much of that is spent on things to do with buying the right food or getting the muscles and getting the six-pack or buying the right clothes? Or what about your children? Social media, I think, has many advantages, but also it's terrifying within our teenage age group. Many, many a teenage now suffers from mental health issues to do with body image because they're terrified of a picture that will either appear on Instagram or won't. And they won't move until they look right. How much of our time and money and thinking are spent on appearance? Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that looking good is bad. It is important that we look good. But what I want us to reflect on today, and our Bible reading that we'll hear in a moment picks this up, is that actually, where's the balance? It's important to look good, but actually God intends for other things in us to be even more important than our looks. What's the most important thing to God is our heart. God looks at the heart. Now, to understand this a little bit more, we're going to go back and look at a story in the life of David as part of our series. It's a really decisive moment in history. The year is about 1000 BC. King Saul, in the chapter before we read in a minute, has been sent to fight the Amalekites. They were a barbarous tribe. They're a nation that had been causing Israel endless trouble. And God very clearly told Saul to wipe them out completely. Wipe them out completely. Saul had done so except for one exception. He had spared the life of the king. And he'd kept a few of the best sheep and the best cattle for himself. Samuel is then sent along to Saul to check this out. And Saul comes up with all sorts of wonderful excuses as to why he would keep the king alive and a few sheep and cows. But the bottom line was Saul had disobeyed God's instruction. And as a result of that, God was really displeased with Saul and he rejected him as the king of Israel. And Ola's now going to come and read us the passage that we're then going to look at, which is the beginning of chapter 16, as to what comes next.
First Samuel 16, from verses 1 to 13. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I've rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be king. But Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, do you come in peace? Samuel replied, yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourself and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one. Jesse then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, nor has the Lord anointed this one. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these the sons that you have? They're still the youngest, Jesse answered. He's tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. That ends the reading of God's word.
Thank you very much. It's a really significant moment because, of course, David was in the line of Jesus. And it helps us maybe explore that question of what criteria do we use to make judgments about ourselves and about others. I think there are two possible options that we use in life. One is that we make judgments on outward appearance, how people look, what people say. They say that if you go for an interview within the first 10 seconds, people have decided whether they're going to appoint you or not. Well, probably in those 10 seconds, you've barely opened your mouth. So what are they making judgments on? The other source we might use is someone's inner heart or character. And we're going to explore a little bit of both of those today. So first of all, about the idea of judging by outward appearances. I think the story of David takes me back to school PE lessons. Maybe you didn't, you were amazing at PE, but I struggled at PE at school. It was not my favourite subject. But PE considered mostly, as far as I could see, of playing team games and the dreadful way of choosing teams, of the whole class being lined up and two people being picked as team captains, usually those that were in the school team and were amazing, and then them having to pick out other people. And I knew every time my heart sank because I would be one of the last picked. David was one of the last. In fact, David was so ignored by his dad that his dad didn't even invite him to the sacrifice. He thought he was that insignificant. It wasn't even worth him coming. I wonder, have you ever felt overlooked by others? Ignored. Felt like you were a nobody. Or have you done it to yourself? Put yourself down because you don't feel you quite look the part. You know, other people will be so much better than me at everything at Oakley. I mean, look at me, I can't do anything. Or in your family, well, I'm just the youngest. Everybody's far better than me. You know, look at the grades my brother and sister got. Look at the jobs they've got. I'm just a nobody. Or have you felt others have made negative judgments on you because of the way you look? That hurts. I've been there too at times. Someone's misunderstood you. Well, take heart, because you're not alone. God sees. God doesn't ignore any of us. I'm going to watch a video now, which is a fairly well-known clip. I want you, as you watch it, to notice initially the expressions of the audience, the comments and expressions of the judges. It's one of the auditions on Britain's Got Talent.
How old are you, Susan?
I am 47. And that's just one side of me.
Okay.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by.
Susan Pierce.
Without a doubt, that was the biggest surprise I have had in 3 years on this show. When you stood there with that cheeky grin and said, I want to be like Elaine Page, everyone was laughing at you. No one is laughing now. That was stunning. An incredible performance.
Okay, moment of truth. Pierce, yes or no?
The biggest yes I have ever given anybody.
Amanda?
Yes, definitely. Brilliant.
Amanda, you too!
Susan Boyle, you can go back to the village with your head held high. It's three yeses.
Probably a clip that many of you are familiar with. And if you're not, just in case you're not, she went through to end up being second to an incredible dance band, Diversity, and has now had the most amazing singing career, and still is, ever since. But why does that story touch us? I think because there's something in it that's true about all of us. We all know there's something in our heart that is good, because God's made us. But we equally know that often the world squashes that. And the world judges us as they did Susan Boyle. And if you watch the longer clip, the beginning bit, there's all sorts of mocking from the audience and sniggering at her. Who's this woman who thinks she can be like Elaine Page? And then she sings a song, and I think there's something powerful in the song, isn't there? I dreamed a dream that God would be forgiving. You see, David was really insignificant to his father, to everybody. And in fact, I think he was even insignificant to Samuel initially, when finally he came on and every other son had been rejected and God had said, no, no, no. And then this little thing probably wandered up. I can't imagine he was very tall. And I wonder whether Samuel inside was thinking, him, God? But then Samuel was willing to listen to God and not judge by the outward appearance, because God said, yes, I've chosen him. I've seen him. The world might ignore him, but I've seen him. And he's a God, he's a person after my own heart. See, he was the one God had selected. He was the one God had chosen. I wonder today whether you feel you've been overlooked, disregarded, ignored. But you know, God's chosen every single one of us here for a mighty work for him. And he wants you to believe it. He's chosen you. Listen to him rather than the world. Or maybe you're someone who's rejected others and you know you've made judgments on appearance. Maybe you know you've been a bit like the judges in the audience in Britain's Got Talent towards Susan Boyle. Can I invite you to come and repent? God is a God who forgives, as Susan sang. You see, it's not what we're like on the outside, it's what we're like on the inside. And wasn't that Luke's message to us from God at Work and Aretha Franklin, that God spoke to Luke about that? Imagine how much God sees our inner beauty. God made you, and God doesn't make rubbish. Even if you might think he does, he doesn't. Everything God makes is good. He judges by our heart, not our appearances. And sometimes I think we need to stand up against our world. If you've got children, to stand up against the world that's telling them that they're only beautiful if they have the right clothes, if their hair is immaculate, if their makeup is spotless, if they don't have a single spot on their skin, and anything less, they're no good. That's not God's truth. And as Christians, we need to stand up for God's truth. So God doesn't judge by appearances. So what does God judge by? Well, he judges by our inner heart. So in biblical thought, the heart is the central organ that controls all activities, determining our character. It's not just our physical pump that keeps us alive. The heart, when it's referred to in the Bible, is the place where qualities are developed, where character is born. David's heart was right, and God saw that, and he loved him for it. David, the skinny little shepherd herder, became the king of Israel. He became, as we'll hear later as we explore further through the Kings in later Sundays, he became a mighty warrior, a valiant general, an inspired leader, a successful businessman, a skilled marksman, and an incredibly gifted songwriter. He wrote most of the book of Psalms. But, you know, above all of that, the one thing that God was impressed by, we read it actually from in Acts when Paul is reflecting back on David. And it says this, God says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will carry out all my wishes. That's what God saw. That's why he chose him, because David was a man after God's heart. David allowed God to mould and fashion his character. And God wants to mould and fashion our character. You know, it's one thing making Jesus our saviour, and that's fantastic, and we need to do that and bow the knee. But actually, the Christian life is about learning to make Jesus Lord of every part, making our heart completely God-shaped. So how does that happen? Well, I think there are two things I want to suggest to you today that we can pay attention to to begin to develop that heart that's after God more. The first is to focus on pleasing God more than looking good. See, David spent a lot of time being a shepherd. And I think during that time he was on his own. Now, I know we can't all do that. But I suspect that within that time he just spent time sometimes just singing to God, talking to God, listening to God, way before he ever became king. And that's what God saw, and that pleased him. That's why he chose him, because he saw he was after his heart. David made his priority pleasing God rather than looking good and acquiring power. And Jesus picks this up when asked in the New Testament, what are the greatest commandments? And what does he say is the first commandment? Do we know it? Oh, one or two of us do. Should we say it a bit louder? Love the Lord your God with strength. Yeah. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. That's everything, isn't it? He doesn't say love the Lord your God with your lovely looks and designer clothes. It's the bits inside. It's if I cut you open and saw what was inside, it's like those sticks of rock you used to get at the beach and you cut them open and the word's the same all the way through, isn't it? God's looking that if he cuts us open, he sees a passion for Jesus all the way through. And we saw some of that passion rekindled last Saturday in many of us on the away day. But where are you now, 8 days later? Is that passion still on fire? Or has it leaked a bit and maybe you need to be rekindled today? Jesus' biggest enemies were the religious people, the people who outwardly looked good. He called them whitewashed tombs. They all looked beautiful and immaculate on the outside, but inside he described them as dead. I hope God won't describe any of us as inside being dead. Our relationship with God matters. It's the bits we do on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday when we're in our house and nobody sees us. Are we making Jesus the central thing? Or has he got shoved back to a back burner? And yeah, he's there and we turn up on Sunday and we pray a bit when we remember. Or is he our first priority? I was challenged once as to one of the tests of this for me. Someone said is, if something wrong happens in your life, what do you do first? Do you pray or phone your mum? I was a bit younger at that point. And I was really challenged by that because if I'm honest, there's a part of me that sometimes thinks actually I'd phone my mum or phone a friend and say help. Oh, and by the way, God, could you help too? And I thought, actually, no, it should be the other way around, God. I'm really sorry. If you're absolutely my first priority, it should be praying first. And then thinking whether God's going to supply some help through a human being. This is what Anne Graham Lotz once said. I'm living my life for an audience of one. I live my life to please God. And I believe that he's pleased. If he's pleased, then people like my mum and my dad, my grandparents, you know, my husband, my children, they'll be pleased. I'm living my life for an audience of one. So what's your priority in life? I think something from this passage says if we're going to be seeking after God's heart, what are we doing to make God that number one priority? Maybe there's something you need to readdress today, to commit to, that's going to help God be number one. Is it that the daily Bible reading has sort of slipped into a quick 5 minutes before you dash out the door? Could it be that the alarm is going to be set half an hour earlier so that you can have that time with God at the beginning of the day? Is it that your prayer life has drifted and you kind of know that you ought to be doing a bit more, but you kind of haven't? and you're going to commit to getting involved in Thy Kingdom Come and rekindling your prayer life. You see, God sees our heart. What's yours looking like today? And I think the second way we develop that heart after God is about valuing character over appearance. See, Samuel had to learn that story, didn't he? He looked at the oldest boy and he thought, yes, the oldest son, he's the top one. This must be the king. And God said no. And then on it went through the third and the second and the third and the fourth. Every single other one was named. Some of them weren't even named, but they were looked at and considered. And finally, Samuel cries out, haven't you got anyone else? And Jesse finally remembers David. That's the one. God chose David because he saw his character, as we've reflected. He saw his willingness to persevere, to keep going. So what character is God looking to develop? God's desire actually is very simple. It's for us to become more and more like Jesus in the way we think and the way we behave. And one of the measures that I use for this is to look at Galatians 5. And while we were in Kenya, actually, it was a really helpful reminder to me because we spent time each day considering one of the fruits of the Spirit which come up in Galatians 5. And thinking where we've seen that in our own life and what it means to have that fruit and where we'd seen it during that day in the things we've been doing. And it really, for me, homed in, actually, it's not just about something general. It's actually, where have I seen that fruit today? So the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Can you see more of those fruits in your life from this time last year? Or how could you develop them? Is there one particular one that you maybe need to focus on more? And what about the comments we say to others? When we compliment our children, our partners, our colleagues at work, our friends, is it about what they're wearing? Or is it actually, thank you for being so kind to your brother today by sharing your toys? Or a hard-working member of your staff team, thank you for persevering and keeping going when I know it's been tough for you. Are we as Christians modelling to others that God values character above appearance? How can we reinforce that in others? So God looks at the heart. It's not what we're like on the outside, it's what we're like on the inside that really counts.